Your boy Ramsey is not at voluntary workouts. What are you going to say?
Why do you always put the guys, when they're in trouble, become my boys? Huh?
Because you're always defending them.
Just because I'm about to defend them doesn't mean... by the way, I don't like what they did, and I will defend them.
So who is Ramsey in Game of Thrones? I'm going to be asking this all show.
I know you are. I'm going to say, guy on the outside looking in, Tyrion Lannister.
Outside looking in.
Yeah.
Sounds like Jaime Lannister, too.
It could very well be right now with the way things are working out.
Here we are for another episode of the Booth Review and the NFL Genome Project. I'm your host, Steve Booth, joined as always by my co-host, Kwasi LaPierre.
How are we doing today, my man?
I'm good, man. I'm just excited to get the show started. So we've got to talk about Ramsey. We kind of hinted at that at the intro there. We're going to touch on the Raiders' obscure situation with sending the draft scouts home. We'll do a real quick Game of Thrones segment, a little player-coach Game of Thrones association game.
Should be fun.
And then we'll see what we got time for as far as the news and notes go. We may have time to get into some QB contract talk as well.
That's what I'm looking forward to, hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, that's always popular. As we know, Russell Wilson just signed that massive 5-year, $157 million contract. Yeah. Really more like a 4-year, $140 million contract.
Exactly. We'll talk more about that. I want to touch base on that Ramsey thing that we started on. I mean...
Yeah, what is that?
All right, you want to hear my semi-hot take? You know,
let's have it.
He's going to be traded. And I say that purely for the fact that Tom Coughlin's very old school.
He's not going to tolerate it.
You and I, you know, have talked at length of this, and I've told you how much I don't really like the way Tom Coughlin thinks football should still be run. And obviously, you combat that with me being too player friendly, and that might be true. And you're right. In some instances, I might be. But then again, I just find that Tom Coughlin comes across as just way more rigid than he needs to be in this era. And I don't know. He's going to get traded. The fact that Ramsey's going back on social media and going after him and doing it politely, but still going through social media, kind of spells where the disconnect is in their relationship.
Yeah, I do not support the players. I just find it nauseating for those that are being paid millions to be complaining about, you know.
Absolutely. It comes to a point where it's like, come on, why are you complaining?
Yeah.
But then there's some instance where it's like, well, guess what? Tom Coughlin, I can completely understand you not liking the fact that all these players have to be regulated in the time they can spend with you and the work rules are not stricter. But that's not Jalen Ramsey's problem. That's not his issue.
Go like, coach college football.
Go talk to the PA office or go talk to the office in New York. Jalen Ramsey has no obligation to you. Once the word voluntary is in there, guess what? They can make it voluntary. If you had a problem with it, take it up with somebody much higher in the pay grade than Jalen Ramsey.
So we're saying that he's likely being traded, correct?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. That's where I'm going.
Foregone conclusion in your mind here.
My opinion, I think he doesn't start the season on the Jaguars. That's just me.
So give me some trade partners that you think we could see something happening. Obviously, the draft is the prime spot to trade him if you want to get something in return for him this
year. Absolutely, absolutely. If you are trying, I would throw out Seattle.
Nice, like
revamping
that vaunted Legion
of
Boom.
Go out there. You only have to pay him $4.5 million, but with the notion that you're going to have to extend him. Now, can you extend him with the fact that, like you mentioned, you just paid Russell Wilson that 4-year, $140 million extension? I'm not really the money numbers guy. I can't tell you off the top of my head. But with the way the...
Well, he's due somewhere
the salary cap grows up, I'm sure they can try to work something.
Somewhere between maybe $4.5 million this year. But next year, if the team wants to pick up the fifth-year option, it jumps up to $13
million. Another interesting team that always makes sense just because they have the assets to trade is Oakland. There's always going to be room in Oakland for a guy like Jalen Ramsey, especially if you're talking about throwing asset at him. They have the cap and they have the assets to throw at Jacksonville to sweeten the pot. And then I'll throw in Houston, you know, because Houston needs corners. They always need corners.
They really do. They've spent significant draft picks in the previous 3 to 4 years yeah. on cornerback, now, hoping that would pan out, and it
hasn't for the most part. That's close with a caveat because that's an AFC South rival, mm-hmm. and that probably is the least likely team to get him. I just threw out
they might offer quite a bit, just like the Indianapolis Colts might.
They might want him, yeah. Now, I don't know if they will, if Coughlin is going to be inclined to give him to a team that's going to see him twice a year.
Yeah,
that might be the problem for there.
Any other ones?
Detroit kind of jumps at me. Pittsburgh might be another one. They could always use that kind of talent on defense.
Yeah.
Especially as you're kind of going through a mini rebuild.
Yeah. Well,
it's a little weird to say with an aging quarterback that they're going through a mini rebuild.
Well, they're like we said a couple episodes ago, their window is literally just about to close.
Yeah.
And the fact that they just signed...
Why not go out balls to the wall and go get yourself a Jalen Ramsey, right?
Oh, yeah. I was talking about the Jaguars there. I forgot who you were talking about.
Oh, no, I was saying Pittsburgh as a trade partner. For Jacksonville. So if your window is small as well.
Right, both
do. Both teams' windows. Yeah, so it works the same way. Ben Roethlisberger is not going to be there much longer, so why not try to do that? Go after a Jalen Ramsey and say, you know what, let's just do it.
And they've had one of the lowest-ranked pass defenses in recent history. It's been middle of the road for this last year.
But in comparison to how they throw the ball, I guess.
Right.
And how their offense goes.
Well, anyhow, I feel like you left the 49ers up on the board for me to take.
Absolutely, so absolutely.
I kind of think that was the one that's staring us in the face.
Absolutely, man. That's why I didn't say anything. That's your team.
Out of conference.
Yep.
The defensive coordinator that came from the Jaguars is over there. They needed another cornerback to play opposite Richard Sherman.
Everything is...
Akella Witherspoon's not really panning out like they thought he would, and nobody else really either. They got a lot of trait guys. They just need to stop messing around and go get their dude if they're going to be relevant while Garoppolo is still under contract.
There it is.
A couple of the other ones that I like, well, I'll just do one more. We could go all day. Everybody could use a cornerback, really.
Yeah, right.
But I think that the Chargers are a team that would be very nice.
Yeah.
A very nice fit for this because they have elite edge rushers. Mm-hmm. And you put a cornerback out there, that defense suddenly goes from... you know, pretty good to now. It's probably historic.
Yeah. Everybody watch out.
Derwin James.
Oh, goodness.
Casey Hayward on the other side of Jalen Ramsey. It gets scary.
If you're the Jaguars, don't do that because now you're just tilting it. Don't give them that talent, please.
That's in the same conference. So even more reason why the 49ers seem like a better candidate. But if the 49ers are going to make one move, I think that they may end up getting a wide receiver before they go get a cornerback, especially because it's going to be potentially cost prohibitive for the price here. We might see
a first rounder
and a second rounder.
I know that they were the... you're 100% right. And I know that they were front runners for... Odell until basically the 11th hour.
They've been second or third in everything.
Yeah, they want a receiver, so they're telegraphing what their needs is.
Khalil Mack last year, same thing. They were close to getting him, and they clearly have a price built in when they go into these negotiations that if it goes above this, then we're just out. There's always a team that's willing to be a little bit more unreasonable.
Absolutely.
And everybody knows that. Absolutely. There's always somebody that's desperate.
So... And, sorry, moving on to desperation. How about we start talking about those Raiders?
Those Raiders. So, what is going on with the scouting room here? It's just Mike Mayock and John Gruden now? Those two sitting together with coffee in the...
Okay.
All day, all night?
It looks funny that it's happening right now. Now, it's not that it's unusual that front offices do this, I guess, but it's unusual of the timing.
It usually happens post-draft, right?
Yes.
Like or you dump your scouting group because, well, you had them do all the work and maybe you didn't like the results, so you
or,
get the next guys in sooner than later.
Or you ask the scouting guys, you don't go with scouting guys you don't trust from the get-go when you get the job. You don't wait till now to just blatantly say, I don't trust you guys. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like... If he didn't trust them, why didn't he just fire them originally when he took the job January 2nd?
It just sounds like there's a mole in the house that maybe there was something that was said behind closed doors with only a small group of guys and that piece of information got out. So,
and you know what? Then do what you got to do to protect your
team draft. I don't know if you really need scouts if you got Mike Mayock in the room.
This is, and maybe that's also there's an underlying to it, you know,
about
the confidence he has in the process, and he doesn't need these guys.
Maybe anymore. Maybe he got to the job and said, seriously, why is this difficult for you guys? And here we are.
Yes, here we are.
Just before the draft, he said, I've definitely had enough of you guys. Get out of here.
So, I mean, it's funny hearing what the Twitter sphere is saying.
Especially because they got three first-round picks, man.
Well, from sports reporters, they're all, you know, it's like 50% of them are shocked, and another 50% are saying, well, that's par for the course.
It's par for the course, because like, it always happens when there's a new GM.
Exactly. So it's like...
It just has to do with the hiring season. The, mm-hmm. the GMs come at the start of the offseason, but the scouts and the scouting department do their job all the way up until April. So it's the same thing with head coaches that are coming into a head coaching job and want to interview, but they're an offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator of a playoff team.
Yeah.
And they're eligible to interview, but it's kind of a conflict of interest.
So I guess that makes it harder for my scenario when I said that he should have fired him in January, because they're doing their job because the college football season just ended. So January is crunch time for them.
Yeah.
So to fire them in that process without having guys already lined up to take their job could be daunting for a GM. You're very right about that. Like, no GM would want that. That's just more of a headache on you, no matter how much of a draft guru you're called on the NFL Network.
It's just, that's just bold. And if you end up doing poorly in the draft, they'll just all point to that. That's all.
So, I mean, I get it. He didn't trust them and decided to move on. Just picked 6 days prior to the draft to do it. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, then. How you work.
So, moving on to our next segment, the Game of Thrones game with our resident guru, Kwasi LaPierre.
I don't like being called a guru about this stuff.
Deal with it. So, the way this is going to work, we're going to throw out an NFL player or coach or someone who used to play in the NFL, anything that I choose.
Yeah.
We didn't have a chance to prep. That's kind of intentional. I like to keep this...
Keep me on my toes.
Yeah, exactly.
I ain't mad at you.
I've just got seven. I'll let you throw a couple in.
Like the Seven Kingdoms. Think.
Exactly.
I like it. Good start. Right. Good start.
So, number one, Sean McVay. Who is he in Game of Thrones?
Whew.
Oh, we already had Jalen Ramsey.
For Jamie. It's Jamie. I said Tyrion. You said Jamie. Yeah. I'm not mad at the Jamie comparison there because the way season 8 looks right now, he's on the outside looking in.
All
right.
Like I said. So, number one.
You threw me Sean McVay?
Sean McVay. Who is it?
Whew. I will go and say Sean McVay. He's been anointed as the golden child. You know, he is to take everything to the future. But by the way the Super Bowl looked, he's not there yet, and he's not ready yet. Maybe a little bit ahead of himself. Maybe a little foolish. I'm going to go with Rob Stark.
Rob Stark. I like that.
Yeah.
And when you say it ended...
Maybe his red wedding isn't yet. How about that?
Oh, so this might be more of a career arc kind of thing. Like maybe he'll fall off a cliff. Maybe he's just not quite creative enough with his 11 personnel
The reason I use that description is just because, you know, the young wolf looked like he was going to take... He was going to take the Seven Kingdoms. He was going to free his father. He was going to do it, everything. And then we saw how it ended. Things didn't go as planned. I just think the way Sean McVay's been anointed the next greatest coach of all time already next to Bill Belichick, that just spells recipe for disaster. That's all. That's why I go with that. I see that that correlation.
And disaster's how it ended for Rob Stark.
It did.
All right, moving on to the next one. Aaron Rodgers.
All right. This one, I'm a little bit torn with this one because this guy, until the prior report that he is a quote-unquote prima donna quarterback, and I'm taking that report, I'm not putting it in context right now. I have to go with the fact that this guy continuously just says, you know what, I'm going to put this team on my back, I'm going to do it alone, and I don't have the help, even though he did have help some years, but I'm just going to do it by myself. Jon Snow when he's up in the north.
Jon Snow. Because Aaron Rodgers is the king of the north.
Yes. Yes, he is. King of the North.
That worked out nicely.
Yes, it is. There. Tell me another person in out of the NFC North or AFC North that really is that, unless it's Big Ben. But we didn't talk about it.
The one that I would say,
and he's not Jon Snow,
because Aaron Rodgers has shown a little more sinister side, would be maybe Ramsey.
No, Ramsey was too sadistic.
I know, I'm just...
Too sadistic. Ramsey had no good qualities. Rodgers has had some.
I mean, he was smart. He was strategic.
He was strategic he was and smart, but crazy. He was...
Yours would probably win out of those two. Jon Snow's the golden child there. More so than Rob Stark, really.
I mean, the close...
Although he had to go
the only other person I would take, if you throw me Tom Brady, I would have probably said Jon Snow, honestly. If you put Tom Brady, just because... Except that he's older. He's older, but his trajectory is kind of like that. He is the hero. He comes up on top.
All I can tell you that is if Tom Brady was in Westeros, he would still be Tom Brady.
Absolutely.
And he would be the one sitting on the Iron Throne.
Absolutely. What's the next name? Throw it out there and I'll see what I can give you.
Marshawn Lynch.
The Hound. I'm not even waiting for that one. That's too easy.
That was quick.
The Hound. He's just vicious.
That makes a lot of sense and not a lot of people like him. Yeah, I guess. I think Marshawn Lynch has a lot more fans than the common person realizes.
So does the Hound.
All right. Touche.
So does the Hound. He's rough on the outside, but he actually has a soul on the inside, and he shows you that throughout the show.
As does Marshawn Lynch.
Thank you.
All right.
The Hound.
So that's 3 for 3 now. Well, 4 for 4 if we're going to the other guy, too, we started with. The next one up is Ed Reed.
Ed Reed. Huh, that's a tough one.
What do you think of when you think of Ed Reed on the field?
On the field, okay. On the field, I think of the beauty and the mastery of how he played his position.
The anticipation.
The anticipation, how he was just so quick with it. And I would honestly have to say, Auburn Martell, the Viper. Even though he ended gruesomely in the show, I'm not thinking about that. I'm thinking about how he fought in that battle against the Mountain.
Yeah.
It just reminds me, Ed Reed is the closest comparison I can think of in terms of how his game was played. So it's just beautiful.
When you were talking about those attributes, the way that I was thinking about that, and Auburn Martell is a good call. I think that's even better than the one that I was thinking of. But possibly Jaime Lannister while he had two hands.
That's another good one.
He was a pretty good swordsman.
He was a good swordsman as well.
I don't know. I feel like Auburn Martell was quite a beast himself. So.
Yes.
All right. So the Viper. Got it. Next one up is Julio Jones.
I will go Julio Jones with, just because Julio's kind of an outlier. He's just this freak of nature who just goes out there.
I remember
just
watching
plays.
Him at the combine.
Yeah, he just plays.
And it was basically DK Metcalf.
Yeah.
And I know that Metcalf scored a little bit better, whatever.
All those things. But
Julio was the beast. He was the original there.
Yes, and Julio, I don't know, just the way he stands apart from his other receivers and how he plays on the field, I'm going to go Khal Drogo.
All right.
A beast of nature. It's just a freak of nature. It's just out there. Kyle DeKyle was known to lead the biggest Khalasar, and he was the strongest of all Kyles. Untouchable until a measly injury hurt him. And
they both look like monsters with their helmets off, not like Drogo wears a helmet.
And Julio does have injury histories. Little things ding him up.
Also a good call, yeah.
Little things ding him up.
Small little cut might take him out.
Just like it did to Drogo. There it is.
All right.
There's my comparison.
So this next one I thought maybe would be a Khal Drogo, but here it is. Rob Gronkowski.
The Mountain.
Yeah.
The Mountain. He's so big. So, the way he plays. He just bulldozes you. Like, whatever. You're in front of me, get out of my way. Until he got hurt.
That is Gronkowski. That is the Mountain. You're
just
right.
Just get out of my way. I'm not dealing with you.
All right, so obviously we could go on all day with this, but I just got one more.
Oh, jeez.
We'll keep it to that, and then if you got any other ones.
You're going to make it tough on me, huh?
So the last one, Bill Belichick.
Oh. Can I give you a twofer for this one?
Yeah. What do you got?
Actually, you know what? No. Tywin Lannister, because, yeah, he ended tragically via Tyrion, but the reason I go Tywin is, for simple fact, Bill Belichick's all about the family. It's the system. You don't do anything against the family.
You abide by the rules.
But you do your job for the family. And the minute you don't, you will get excommunicated, and I will be ruthless about it. And that's what Bill is.
That's a good call. Just out of curiosity, what was the other one that you were contemplating?
There's another side. The reason I was contemplating is because there's another side of Bill Belichick. The quiet, just I will end you as quickly as I brought you up, and that's the Night King.
The Night King.
He's silent. He doesn't
all care. Powerful.
All powerful. And he sees everything. He knows everything.
Yep. That one might take the cake. I think I'd go with Night King over. Well, Lannister was yeah, but you're
Tywin
right.
Tywin Lannister was the richest man in Westeros, and he knew he held so much power over everybody, and he was never king.
But I think you hit the nail on the head there when you say that there's two Bill Belichicks.
Yes.
There's the Bill Belichick that's like, you know, in the planning room with the team all week long, and then there's Bill Belichick game day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a...
I'll kill you.
Art of War could be written by Bill Belichick.
Yeah. Yeah. How he proceeds.
I would read it. I mean, I can't wait to read the book that Belichick...
Yeah, I was just going to say, whenever it comes out, I'm reading it. Reading it cover to cover.
Yep. All right, so we'll wrap that up there, unless you got any other ones you can think of.
No, I think you've tested me enough. I'm okay.
All right. Who would... Who would...
I don't like tests, by the way.
What is the name of the king?
Robert?
Joffrey. King Joffrey. Who would be King Joffrey? This is almost an insult here.
Who's king? Sadly, John Gruden.
John Gruden.
That's my Ramsay. Petulant, doesn't care, cuts everybody, distrustful.
Oh man.
Has a plan, but we don't know if it's gonna get executed or not. And to everybody, it seems short-sighted. There it is.
All right, and as advertised, the resident guru of Game of Thrones, Kwasi LaPierre.
Oh, God.
All right, so we had the schedule released this last week, and we just wanted to note that because we're not going to tackle it yet.
Mm.
The whole point of the schedule release and the discussion we'd like to have would be to talk about projected win totals, which Vegas has, you know, for some reason already released. Like, the draft doesn't matter somehow.
Can I change something?
What's that?
I need to change the comparison. You gave me... Antonio Brown is Ramsey.
Oh.
100%. 100%. Scratch John Gruden from the... He doesn't take the cake. Antonio Brown is not taking the cake for Ramsey. He is the petulant child. Sorry, I'm back.
All right, so that schedule release, we're not going to talk about it yet because we want to have the results of the NFL draft so that we can talk about it properly. Otherwise, we're going to do it twice.
Absolutely.
So we'll hold off. We got other things to talk about. Such things like Gronkowski using a Lombardi trophy as a bat.
Is this really more important?
I just want to know.
I know. I love it.
Are you upset about that, or are you...
Yeah. I'm annoyed that it's like, come on, you should know better.
The sanctity of NFL trophy is not to be used like
And that. Even so, it's not even just that. It's just common sense. Gronk, you should know better. Yeah. It's a hollow trophy. Taking an object. It's going to get dent.
He's from Buffalo. What are we going to do?
Geez, shots fired.
No, I mean, they're just hockey fans up there, and they got the Stanley Cup. I'm just backpedaling. Whatever. Sorry, Buffalo. You guys produced a real heck of a football player, Gronkowski. So
and you make amazing Buffalo wings.
Is that where they're from?
Yeah.
All right.
That's where they supposedly started.
I never knew. I figured it was something like that.
Yeah. Started in a bar in Buffalo.
So they got to replace those touchdowns in New England. How many does Demaryius Thomas get recently signed with the Patriots for a deal that could be up to $6 million? If you look at it and you break it down, it's really more like 2.5 with escalators and stuff. And
we don't even know if he'd be on the team. Thank you. I was just going to say, I don't know if he makes it through August on the team, because they're saying his injury will... He should be back by August, but...
It's December, I believe.
Yeah, it's December, and they're saying that he might be still able to do some on-the-field activities in August. Who knows? We don't know. He could have a setback. I don't know. You want me to throw out a number? Fine. 4. Because Tom doesn't usually...
4 touchdowns.
He hasn't really zeroed on one person not named Edelman yet on that receiving corps. So I'm still going to think he's going to continue that. This guy is his first year there. He's not going to be throwing running routes with him until probably closer to when the season starts. It's going to take time for him to gel with Tom. So it's going to be a low number for me.
Yeah, I think if he gets 2, that'll be a success here. I think that he's not getting paid a lot because he's going to have roster bonuses. And mm-hmm. If he's not an active player on a Sunday, he's not going to get a paycheck then.
No.
It's how they structured them. I'm sure that's how the Patriots do things with these veteran guys. That's why we see these guys come in with all kinds of pomp and circumstance, and not like they really did that this time, but oftentimes you'll see these veterans go to New England and you think, wow, they're so smart, they're going to use them this way, that way, and then, well, come September, they're either buried on the depth chart or they're just gone.
Yep.
See it all the time.
Every single time.
All right, so let's. I think we got time to hit on these QB contracts.
Yeah, a few minutes. Let's break this down.
So Russell Wilson signs a contract extension for what is amounting to 5 years, $157 million, counting his current year, which is $17 million. So do the math. 4 years, $140 million is about $35 million a year, or 31.4 if you calculate it the other way. One way makes him the highest paid. The other way makes him the second highest paid.
Either way, he's paid.
That's what he's paid. You know, he took a team friendly deal the last time.
He did, and it was time to get his. Go get your check. I get it. It resets the market. Obviously, you know, I'm always going to come on the side of the players.
Yeah, I have no problem. Go get your money. Being on the side of the players when it comes to contracts,
it's a lot of money. It's a lot of money to throw around there. Now, I think it's a fair discussion to say. If he's worth it, if he's the one who should be, you know, resetting the market, I think that's a fair discussion to have.
I think, you know, if we look back in history, we had the time when Aaron Rodgers passed Russell Wilson for the highest contract. He had $22.1 million, roughly, right around there. And he held that for quite a while, about 5-6 years, until we saw, was it Andrew Luck sign a deal?
It might have been
Luck. And then we had... Matthew Stafford signed a deal. We had Derek Carr sign a deal. We had then Jimmy Garoppolo a couple years later.
Who was Dalton's deal?
And a lot of these guys. He didn't set...
Was he kind of shuffled? I know he didn't reset the market.
But all the guys that I'm listing...
Yeah. They all reset the market.
Set the market when they signed the contract. So we kind of had a flurry because we had an increase in cap. And the cap will continue to increase. But I think we're reaching a point where it's going to be hard for a lot of these quarterbacks that are coming up to... actually set the market. I think Patrick Mahomes is going to set it when he signs his contract at the end of this season or after the playoffs, however it unfolds. And then it's going to be probably another 3-4 years before somebody comes along and sets the market again. And I think that guys like Carson Wentz, Jared Goff, Deshaun Watson, and Dak Prescott are going to have to just be okay with being in that second tier below the best guy.
I'm looking at the chart and I see Patrick Mahomes at the top right now. It makes sense.
Yeah, and guys like
Carson Wentz, I'm sorry. I love Wentz, but he hasn't played enough to dictate to reset the market. I'm sorry.
SpotTrack says that the market value for Carson Wentz is 30.7 per year. So what that probably look like is probably 5 years, $150 million or $154 million, whatever that works out to be. Patrick Mahomes is valued at 35.2 and should be the highest paid quarterback in the league, according to SpotTrack.
I'm looking at SpotTrack's numbers, and I'm looking at... by the way, huge shout out to SpotTrack.
Yeah, we use them all the time.
Yeah, they're awesome. Jared Goff, he's one... I see his number there, his value. I get it. I just don't think it's going to be with the Rams.
So 28.6, yeah, I don't...
I feel like
at some point the bubble's going to burst and teams are going to start to capitalize on this rookie contract situation. I think the NFL is a rookie contract league right now.
I'll tell you this. If Kyler Murray comes in there and just kills it, then, yeah, it's going to keep furthering that discussion.
Yeah.
And, you know, and say Daniel Jones finds some success with an injured Eli Manning at one point and they start picking up steam and Eli doesn't ever come back. That's another thing. That pushes the story more that way, too. Like,
I'm going to add Cam Newton to this list.
Oh.
He's going to be a free agent in 2020. It's not far off. He's going to try to reset the market because he thinks he's that good.
But I don't think he's that good right now.
Yeah, but you know.
His body's getting banged up. Like, his body's not what it used to be. He can't take those hits. I don't think he can dictate that money. They were talking about him maybe sitting out this whole next season. I don't think he can dictate that kind of money. I'm sorry. I like Cam Newton, too.
He might still try.
I know he can try, but good luck. Yeah, I'll just say good luck, man.
I think that the next quarterback to set the market, again, after Patrick Mahomes, even with the inflation, is going to be Baker Mayfield. And that's quite a ways off. He could re-sign sign an extension after 3 years, just like Patrick Mahomes. So that might just be...
So my question is, I wonder if these quarterbacks are like competing with each other or they keep track of this. I wonder what quarterback is out there like, does Aaron Rodgers look at the news and say, he beat me after just, what, 2-3 weeks?
I think they have to be realistic about it. And
do they see the market for what it is? It's just like, hey, I said it and my other guys kind of...
Let me just ask you to put yourself in their shoes. How are you going to feel if you sign a contract, you're the highest paid guy, and you have it for all of 6 months? Are you upset?
Personally, hell no.
I think a lot of these players take the same approach. I think that they sort of take numbers out of it, just understanding that everybody's winning.
It's just the market, right?
Everybody's making money.
All right. I agree with you. I just want to pose the question. You know what I mean? Mr. NFL trades over here getting text messages and Bleacher Reports over here.
Yeah,
it's
man,
cool.
Sorry.
It works that way, man. I get it. Your fingers are tapped to the Bleacher Report and the sports world.
Let's put that down. So, picking up where we left off, we've got Jared Goff, like we were saying, probably not going to re-sign with the Rams, if you ask me. And if we ask you, same deal.
I just don't think that Sean McVay...
It's a system.
It's going to be like, hey, I really need to pay this guy.
They already paid $5 million. A running back.
Yeah, I don't need to pay this guy. I'll just draft and groom another one.
They paid their wide out. So, Deshaun Watson valued even below that. I think that might change this.
I think
this
it very year. Well could. I mean... I'm on the Deshaun Watson side. I think that the kid is special. He has the opportunity to be great. I think that what we're seeing from him, he's just going to continue to improve, in my opinion. So, I don't know.
So, Dak Prescott, he's probably going to be the next guy to sign. What do you think he gets? I mean, the Cowboys have been pumping him up for the past couple of years. Now they got to deal with it. What's it going to be?
4 years, 140.
Yo, man, 4 years, 140 means he's getting the $35 million. Are you putting him in that category?
I hate to put him in that category, but I think Jerry Jones will pull the trigger on that category just to say, "Hey, I have
one of the guys." I cannot believe that.
I'm not saying it's logical. I'm not saying it's right.
Nothing usually is there in Dallas.
I'm just saying it's probably going to happen. Like, I just think it's going to happen. You know.
Yeah, so SpotTrack's got his market value set at 23.8, which may even at that spot be high if you ask me, but at least that is kind of
looks
closer to the going rate.
Yeah, it looks. Or maybe it's 5 years, 140, and they work it so it doesn't come out at $35 million a year, but it looks like a lot to us.
Well, incidentally, 23.8 times 6 is roughly 140.
So maybe it's a 6, 140. So, but I truly believe that, you know, Jerry Jones pulls the trigger and gives him a 40 or 140. Just to say he did it and just to say he has the guy. It's a track record.
It's marketing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's all the topics I've got down. Unless you got anything else you want to toss out into the atmosphere, the
NFL stratosphere, honestly, just like maybe the NFLPA is not happy with Tom Coughlin's comments. They're not happy with him kind of calling out those two players. Because he didn't just call out Rams, he called out Telvin Smith as well. For saying that, I think all our players should be here for voluntary.
Well, the 49ers workouts. Could use Telvin Smith too.
That'd be awesome.
Him as well.
Yeah, exactly. If this guy wants to be that rigid and old school.
They played hard for Robert Saleh.
Yeah, they did.
Do it again.
Yeah, they would. That'd be awesome.
Come on, 49ers management.
Make it work.
If you're listening.
Make it happen.
I want credit for that.
Cut you a check.
Yeah,
yes,
exactly.
Sir. Yes, sir.
All right, we're going to get out of here. Later, guys.
Later.